I'm delighted you've made it your decision to be here this morning, and I hope you've brought your Bible with you and eager to take that and study with us as we talk about things that have to do with serving God and going to heaven. The topics that are planned for the week have been announced on your flyer, but I'll mention those each time I'm before you, what lessons remain to remind you. There may be one you want to bring a friend or a neighbor to hear. But this evening we're going to talk about selling and stirring. It's a study of Ahab and Jezebel, how he sold himself to do evil because Jezebel stirred him up. We'll talk about that this evening. Come back and be a part of that study this afternoon or this evening. Tomorrow evening we're going to talk about the story of two prophets, Elias, my brother, from 1 Kings chapter 13. You might read that chapter prior to our study tomorrow night. Some first principle things that we'll learn from that, some practical things. Your friend or neighbor that may not be a Christian would benefit from that, as well as those who are Christians. Same thing is true on Tuesday evening. We'll talk about nevertheless from Luke chapter 5, some things that are true, but nevertheless, this is also true. And we'll base that off of Luke chapter 5. Come see what that's about. Then on Wednesday evening, we'll talk about strengthening the hand of the sinner, how often we strengthen the hand of the sinner by things that we say or do. And maybe we don't intend to do that. And then on Thursday evening, when it seems evil to serve the Lord, sometimes what the Lord has told us to do, we label that as being wrong. That's evil to do that. What are those cases? We'll talk about that on Thursday evening. And then Friday evening, another study from the Old Testament, we'll talk about don't boast before the battle. Make some New Testament application from all of that. Well, Peter now is one of those disciples that many of us can identify with in one shape, form, or fashion. It might be his zeal. We like to think we have the kind of zeal that Peter had. Peter was a zealous person. Not only his zeal, but his boldness. Few were as bold as Peter was. You think, I like to have the boldness that Peter has. And yet Peter was also overconfident at times. He was impulsive. He was impatient. And yet Peter often got in his own way at times, as he did here in Matthew chapter 26. So in Matthew chapter 26, we take note, before the reading, the section that was read to you a few moments ago, Peter boldly proclaimed his devotion to the Lord. We alluded to this in the previous study, but in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 31, Jesus had said, all of you will be made to stumble because of me. But Peter said, no, I will not do that. I am devoted to you. I will not stumble, he said. And verse 33, verse 34, that before the rooster crows this very night, you'll deny me three times. And Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you, he said. Boldly proclaimed his devotion to the Lord. And yet, when Jesus was arrested that very same night, the text says he followed him at a distance. So let's look at the text that was read to you a moment ago. Look at verse 58. But Peter followed him at a distance, to the high priest's courtyard. Now, there, each of the Gospels give an account of this. Matthew, that we are just reading. Mark and Luke say essentially the same. We'll come to those later. We'll not read them at this juncture. But John mentions this in John chapter 18. And verse 15 and 16, that he says Peter stood at the door outside. That again gives the idea that Peter followed at a distance. So let's talk about following at a distance. And I want to suggest to you that following at a distance is just as much a danger for us as it was for Peter. That it very well could be that I'm following the Lord at a distance. Maybe you're following the Lord, but you're following at a distance. Here's what we're going to see. We're going to talk about four things in our study. We're going to talk about the reasons. Why did Peter follow the Lord at a distance? Not what would Peter say, but what was the real reason he was following the Lord at a distance? And then secondly, we'll talk about the dangers of following the Lord, the same dangers we face. And thirdly, we'll talk about the signs that give an indication we may be following the Lord at a distance. What was he doing that told us he was following at a distance? And then last of all, what justification could be cited if we could interview Peter and say, Peter, why did you do that? I think he would tell us, and I think I know why he would tell us. What he would tell us. And we'll see what that is in just a few moments. The text just told us, we read it a moment ago. And we'll come back to that in a moment. Let's start with this, the reasons. What's the real reason behind following the Lord, but keeping a distance between us and the Lord? What was it the case for Peter? Well, first of all, I want to suggest to you, there was a fear of a close association. For Peter, it was quite obvious what was going on. Let's go back to our text at verse 57 that was read to you a moment ago. Jesus was arrested. He might be too. There's fear of getting any closer, because if I get any closer, they may arrest me too. Look at verse 57. They took him before Caiaphas, the high priest. Jesus is on trial. He could be too. Look at verse 59, the verse after our text. It says he followed the Lord at a distance. And that is, they took false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. They wanted to kill Jesus. They might kill him too. It's quite obvious why he doesn't want to get any closer. Because you see, if I get any closer, they may arrest me. If I get any closer, they may put me on trial. If I get any closer, they may want to kill me like they seem to be wanting to kill him. For us, it may be very much the same kind of thing. That if I get any closer, I might be expected to be involved somehow. I want to follow the Lord, but I don't want to be real involved. I don't want to get any closer, because if I did, I might be expected to do something and be involved. I might be expected to give up something. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a practice that I have, and I'm not willing to give that up, and I'm not willing to quit this in my life, so I'm not going to get any closer. I'm going to follow the Lord, but I'm going to keep a distance there because I don't want to get quite involved. It might be that if I got any closer to the Lord, I would be held to a higher standard and expected to follow that. I don't want to follow that standard. And so I don't want to get any closer, because I'm going to follow the Lord at a distance, because there is the fear of a closer association. That was quite obvious with Peter. Do you know anybody that follows the Lord, but they follow him at a distance? They have the Lord in view. They say they believe in the Lord, and they say maybe even they're Christians, but they follow him at a distance, because they don't want to get any closer. Here's the second reason. Peter is following the Lord at a distance, perhaps because he had deceived himself into thinking that he's still following the Lord, at least. How's that work? Well, he's following, obviously. The text says so. Look at verse 58. But Peter followed him. And then the words are added, at a distance. He's following him, but he just doesn't want to get too close. He's following him, but he doesn't want to be too involved with what's going on with the Lord. He was with John after all. Go over to John chapter 18, verse 15 and 16. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, who we think to be John. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter stood at the door outside. The other disciple was also known to the high priest. You see, he went with John, and after all, I'm with another disciple. I just didn't go as far as he did. And think about this for a moment. Maybe Peter didn't think of himself so much as at a distance as he was following. Perhaps that's the same thing with us. That I'm following the Lord, and I'm not thinking of myself being at a distance as much as I'm thinking that I'm still following the Lord. I'm still going in the direction he's going. I'm still keeping my eye on the Lord, seeing what's going on. But I'm keeping a distance between me and the Lord. But I'm not focusing on the distance. Perhaps he thinks and deceives himself into thinking, at least I'm still following the Lord. Here's perhaps is a third reason. And that is, he ignored the warnings that were given. Here's what the Lord had said concerning him. Look at Luke chapter 22 with me, if you will. The Lord had told him that his faith would fail. You remember this. The Lord had said to him in Luke chapter 22, he said, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, verse 32. But when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. In other words, your faith is going to fail. So the Lord had told him, your faith is going to fail. Be careful, Peter. Your faith's going to fail. Secondly, the Lord had told him, you're going to deny me this very night. You'll be made to stumble. And you'll even deny me three times this very night. The Lord had warned him about that. So why is he following the Lord at a distance? Well, let's turn to Mark's account of this in Mark chapter 14. I want to suggest to you that in light of Mark's account of this, though the others hint at the same thing, that when the cock sounded the first time, when the rooster crowed the first time, that should have shook him to the core. Because the Lord had said this, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. So look at verse 68. When he was asked, are you with Jesus of Nazareth? He denied it, verse 68 of Mark 14, saying, I neither know nor understand what you're saying. And he went out on the porch and the rooster crowed. That should have shook him to the core. But what did he do? He bowed his neck and he denied him again and again. Look at verse 69. They said, "You're with this man." And he denied it again, verse 70. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I do not know this man," verse 71. And the second time the rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the words that Jesus had said to him. But now it's too late. When the rooster crowed the second time, he says, "Oh yeah, the Lord had warned me and the Lord had told me that I would deny him before the rooster crowed the second time. But now it's too late. He's not done it." He's following the Lord at a distance. Why is he following the Lord at a distance? Because the fear of getting any closer. Because he may have deceived himself into thinking, "I'm still following the Lord." And thirdly, because he's ignored the warnings. But here's something else. Peter has forgotten the commitment that he made. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 16 for a moment. Commitment was demanded of all of the disciples. Not just Peter, but all of the disciples. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 16 and in verse 24. He said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." What the Lord demands of all disciples, and he did of Peter and Matthew and Mark, all of the disciples, anyone that might have been following, Levi, any of those that might be following him, James and John, all were to give this commitment to the Lord in Matthew chapter 16. Take up your cross and follow me. You remember, Peter had boldly proclaimed his commitment. "I will never stumble. I will not deny you. I'll even die for you if I have to. That's what I'll do for you." And yet, for the moment, he forgot all about that commitment. Do you think Peter is thinking at the time he's following at a distance that, "I told him I'd die for him, but I don't want to get any closer"? And when they're saying to him, "Do you know this man? I told him I'd die for him, but I'm going to deny him." I don't think he's thinking about that. For the moment, he forgot all about the commitment. And what I want to suggest to you is that we make a commitment when we obey the gospel. Turn with me to Romans chapter 16, if you will. This is descriptive of one obeying the gospel. Romans chapter 6, rather than chapter 16. Romans 6 in verse 17 and 18. "But God be thanked that you were the slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered." Now notice verse 18. "And having been made free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness." When you obeyed the gospel, you made a commitment. "I am now a servant of righteousness. I'm a servant of the Lord." In fact, Jesus raised this question in Luke 6:46. "Why do you call me Lord and do not the things which I say?" Why do you call me as your Lord and not doing the things I say? In other words, if you are calling Jesus your Lord, that is a commitment. I'm going to follow and do what he says. So why do we follow the Lord at a distance? For the very same reasons. That is, we may have a fear of getting any closer. Secondly, it may be that we've deceived ourselves into thinking, "I'm still following the Lord. I haven't given up on following him." And thirdly, because we ignore the warnings that are given and because we forget the commitment that he's made. Let's talk secondly about the dangers. I know the reasons why Peter did that. And I know the reasons why we do that. What danger is involved? At least I'm still following the Lord, am I not? Let me suggest to you that the danger involves that it leads to other sins. Go back to our text, Matthew 26. Look at verse 58. Peter is following the Lord at a distance. Now what happens next? Well, here's what it led to. It led to lying. How so? Look at verse 70. Look at verse 70. When they ask him the question, "Are you with this Jesus? Aren't you with Jesus of Nazareth?" And he denied it, the text said. He's lying about that. It led to denying the Lord. Now, that's the same thing, but you could lie and not be denying the Lord, and you could deny the Lord, but you would be lying then, of course. But it led to another sin, and that is denying the Lord. Notice three times. Look at verse 70, then verse 72, and then verse 74. Three times he said, the text says, he denied it, verse 70. Verse 72, again, he denied it with an oath. And in verse 74, he said, "I do not know the man." That's all following this idea of he followed the Lord at a distance. It led to other sins. His faith failed. The bottom fell out of his faith. That's what the Lord had said would happen. His faith gave way. Furthermore, we should not be surprised when we find someone among us who's following the Lord at a distance, they become involved in worldliness. That shouldn't be a big surprise. Oh, they claim to be a Christian. They come part of the time. They're following the Lord, so to speak, but they keep a distance between them and the Lord. And when we come to find out they're involved in worldliness, that shouldn't be a big surprise, because following the Lord at a distance leads to other sins. It shouldn't be a surprise that there's some things that they don't know to be wrong. That is, they're involved in some things that they know they shouldn't be doing. Their language may not be becoming. Their attitude may turn sour. And there's a great deal about the scriptures they may not even understand. You see, it leads to other sins. And we could easily involve ourselves in other things like denying the Lord because we're following the Lord at a distance. But here's the second thing about the danger. It's easy to go even further from the Lord. Let's go back to our text and see this in Matthew chapter 26. And then we'll go over to Mark's account. Matthew 26 and in verse 71. Then we're going to go to Mark chapter 14. While Peter followed the Lord at a distance, then he moved even further away, the text seems to indicate. Look at verse 71. Verse 58, it said he followed the Lord at a distance. Now verse 71, and when he had gone out of the gateway, he went even further away. When you're following the Lord at a distance, it's easy to go even further away. Look at Mark's account in Mark 14. Look at Mark 14 and in verse 68. And when he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you're saying. He went out on the porch and the rooster crowed. He's already got a distance, but he goes out even further away from the Lord. What I'm suggesting to you is that when you're following the Lord and there is a distance between you and the Lord, it makes it much easier to put a wider gap between you and the Lord. It's easy to lose your faith altogether. Now let's go to the book of Hebrews and notice two or three passages here. Here's the warning. The Hebrews were discouraged under severe persecution. Some are tempted to pull back away from the Lord. And the warning of these passages we're about to consider is you could reach the point of no return. If you already have a distance between you and the Lord, you can go even further away and get further and further and further away and lose your faith altogether. Notice Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you, he's writing to brethren, to Christians, to a church in Palestine, I think perhaps Jerusalem. But beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. You could lose your faith altogether, he says. Let's go to chapter 6, same book. Beginning at verse 4, he's writing to Christians again. Here is a real danger for them. What's the danger? It is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. What happens? Verse 6. If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify for themselves again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. It could be that after you became a child of God and you experienced your life as a Christian, you could fall away and go even further and further away. One more passage before we leave that point. Hebrews chapter 10. If we sin willfully after that we've received a knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. There's not another one coming along you can accept. You've rejected the only one. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. In other words, it's easy to reach the point, you reach a point of no return. You lose your faith altogether. So what's the danger of following the Lord at a distance? One is, it leads to other sins, and even those other sins could even lead to a further gap between you and the Lord. Let's move to a third thing. Talk about some of the signs. That if we could stand off on the side and we begin to observe Peter, there's some indications that tell us he is following the Lord at a distance. What are those signs? And it may be the very same signs that we can identify among us that we're following the Lord at a distance. Well, here's the first. He warmed himself by the devil's fire, the text tells us. Let's go back to Mark's account of this again. And then we're going to go over to Luke chapter 22. And notice a development in Luke chapter 22. But I want you to notice that he was warming himself by the devil's fire. Look at Mark chapter 14 and in verse 54. That Peter followed, here's our text, him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest and sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Well, what's the problem with that? Well, let's go a little bit further. Look at Luke chapter 22, Luke's account of this in verse 55. Now, when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. I want you to notice this was a continued association. In other words, here were the enemies of God. Here was the enemies of Christ. They've built a fire and they're warming themselves by the fire. And Peter goes and puts himself right in the middle of those. But this was a continued association. How do I know? Look at verse 59. Then after about an hour had passed, they came and confidently affirmed, saying, "You are also with this fellow, for he is a Galilean." After an hour had passed. That's no brief association. I'm trying to paint a picture for you is this. Here they built a fire. Peter goes over there and doesn't just go and warm himself to get warmed up. And then he wants to get closer to the Lord. He's following the Lord at a distance. And he goes over here and he spends about an hour around this fire. What does that tell you? He's not bothered at all to be among the enemies of God. He's not bothered at all to be among the enemies of Christ. It reminds us of Lot, who pitched his tent towards Sodom. Being among those who are the enemies of God and who are the heathens. I'm here to tell you this, that when we are among and around a world of sin and we're not bothered by that, then you may be following the Lord at a distance. When we are warming ourselves by the devil's fire, if we could stand back and observe Peter, what's Peter doing? Well, he's over there by the devil's fire. He's warming himself for a long time over there at the devil's fire. That tells us he's putting a distance between him and the Lord. Here's the second thing I want to suggest to you. And that is, when you'd rather be comfortable with the world than uncomfortable with the Lord. That's a sign you're following the Lord at a distance. How so? Well, let's go to John's account of this. Now, John's account in John 18 and in verse 18. John 18 and in verse 18. I want you to notice again, Peter is warming himself by the enemy's fire. I want you to notice whose fire it is. The servants and the officers had made a fire of coals and they stood there, for it was cold and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. So Peter warmed himself by the enemy's fire. Now it's quite obvious that to identify with the Lord would be quite uncomfortable, wouldn't it? You stop and think about that. If when they come to him and say, aren't you with this Jesus that we arrested? Aren't you with him? If he had said, yes, I'm with him. I want to go and I want to stand right beside him. That's rather uncomfortable. He's on trial. They're wanting to kill him. They've arrested him. That would be rather uncomfortable. But it was cold outside, the text says, and he sought to be comfortable with the enemies of God. Here's the lesson we learn. When we're just as close, or perhaps closer to the world than we are to our brethren, we are following the Lord at a distance. I want to tell you, there are brethren. There are those who claim to be Christians who are just as close to the world or maybe closer to the world than they are their brethren. They'd rather be comfortable with the world than uncomfortable among God's people. They're following the Lord at a distance. That was the case with Peter. Are you following the Lord at a distance? Are you warming yourself by the devil's fire? Trying to follow the Lord, but you warm yourself by the devil's fire. Had you rather be more comfortable among the world than to be uncomfortable and be identified with the people of God? You may be following the Lord at a distance. Here's a third sign, and that is a careless attitude. Peter had developed a careless attitude. Peter sat among the enemies, and he doesn't seem to be bothered by that. Remember, after an hour had passed over there. He denied the Lord once. He denied the Lord twice, and he sits among the enemies, and he's not bothered. It's as if Peter was saying this, I'm okay, I'm not affected, I can handle this. This is no big deal. That I'm following the Lord at a distance. That careless attitude. Have you developed a careless attitude that may indicate that you indeed are following the Lord at a distance? But finally, let's talk about the justification. And let's ask Peter, We've talked about why you followed the Lord. We think it's because you didn't want to get closer to the Lord. No, Peter didn't say that, did he? And we think it may be that you've deceived yourself into thinking that you're still following the Lord. But Peter didn't say that, did he? And so we think we know why you were doing that. But let's ask Peter, why did you do it? What justification do you have for following the Lord at a distance? What would he say? And I think I know what he would say because of what the text says. Notice in verse 58 of our text, Matthew 26. Go back to Matthew 26. This was read to you a moment ago. And in verse 58, but Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard and went in and sat with the servants. Are you reading with me? To see the end. The New American Standard and International translate that to see the outcome. Peter, why are you following the Lord at a distance? I want to see the outcome. We'll see how this thing turns out. He should have known the outcome because the Lord had told him about that. Let's go back to Matthew 16 just for a moment. The Lord had already said this. This goes back to what we talked about at the previous hour. Did he really believe the Lord? Here's what the Lord had said to him. That I'm going to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. He had already been told the outcome. But Peter said, I'm wanting to see the outcome. How's it going to turn out? What's going to happen here? Lenski observes at this point that we always invent good reasons for doing what we ought not to do. Are you following the Lord at a distance and you invent a good reason why you don't need to get closer to the Lord? Why you don't need to be more dedicated, more devoted? Draw closer? Do more in the kingdom? We always invent good reasons. Peter wanted to know without being a part of what was going on. But last of all, may I suggest to you that often we are more spectators than disciples. Are you a spectator? Or are you a disciple? Go back to our verse. Verse 58. He went to see the end, the outcome. You see, justification for following at a distance may be that we want to know a little about what's going on. Maybe we follow more out of curiosity than conscience. Are you more curious about what's going on in the kingdom, what's going on in the church, than you're following out of conscience? I love this quotation from Matthew Henry. He said, speaking of Peter, that he followed him, but it was only to see the end, led more by his curiosity than his conscience. He attended as an idle spectator rather than as a disciple, a person concerned. Note, it is more our concern to prepare for the end, whatever it may be, than curiously to inquire what the end will be. The event is God, the duty is ours. See his point? Peter is not following as a conscientious disciple. He's a curious observer, wanting to know how this is going to turn out. I want to see. Are you curious about what's going on? Are you a dedicated disciple and said, I want to be with the Lord, whatever it costs me, whatever it happens, whatever comes, I want to be a dedicated disciple of the Lord. Well, Peter followed at a distance, and often we do the same thing. Could you be following the Lord, but following the Lord at a distance? We've seen the reasons, the dangers, the signs, and the justification. There may be one or more present this morning who's not following the Lord. A disciple is one who is a follower of the Lord. Those who are obedient to the gospel are called disciples. When the gospel came to Antioch and when they heard the message and they responded and they became believers, they became disciples. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, the text says. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. Would you become a Christian this morning if you're not one? If you haven't been obedient to the gospel, you're not a disciple. You're not following the Lord at a distance. You're not following the Lord at all. Would you become a follower, disciple of the Lord? Would you come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Repent of your sins, acknowledge your faith, and be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins. If you're subject in any way, would you come while together we stand and sing?